Blessing to be here. I've been looking forward to coming. I apologize for an advertisement of a schedule that I was supposed to be in Richmond, Virginia. The truth is, my personal schedule had both Indiana and Virginia, and I think what happened, my schedule got full, so I bought another calendar. And but anyway, my secretary said, "No, sir, preacher, you're supposed to be in Indiana, and they asked you to come 2 years ago." And so anyway, I apologize for that confusion there. It is an honor to be here, and I mean that. It is a real joy to be in this church and just to sense the good spirit of this church. And I mean that. It's refreshing to be in a church that enjoys singing. I'll be honest. I go to some churches, and sometimes I think they're on weekend or weeknight incarceration. They had to come to serve and serve out their time. I enjoy church. In fact, I love church. If I didn't love church, I'd be in trouble, because that's just about all I do. A fellow asked me a few weeks ago, he said, "Brother Fugit, what is your hobby?" I said, "Well, I guess preaching." He said, "No." He said, "What do you do when you're not preaching?" I said, "Generally praying or writing sermons." And but I love church, and I mean that, and I'm glad to be in church tonight. I do appreciate Brother Ross. I appreciate the history and the heritage of this church, and I'm glad that you're still traveling the old paths and the allurements of the world that guise themselves as religious or what have you. I'm so glad. And the spirit of the church, that's where you can tell it. And I appreciate the good spirit of this place tonight. And I've been looking forward to coming. Of course, several young men and young ladies came through Commonwealth Baptist College, and I love you, and I'm so thankful that I had the privilege to have a part of your life, and we're so glad for what God has done there, and what a blessing it is to see young couples serving the Lord together, and one or two or three children in tow there, and some on the way, and that's exciting, and I love it. I'll tell you, there's nothing more wonderful than serving the Lord and being in the will of God. Amen. Serving God with your family, and just rearing your family serving God. It's just a wonderful thing. I have no regrets in all of that. I started going to church 9 months before I was born. I did. I started going 9 months before I was born. I haven't burned out yet. I haven't. I still like peanut butter and jelly. I still like soup, beans, and cornbread. And I still like church. I like church. I haven't burned out. I'm glad to be in church. And I'm in church just about, well, Sunday through Thursday, just about every single week. And it's good to be here. I'm glad I can hear well. This is a good sound system. I like that. I don't hear well. I wear hearing aids. And so I always check out the sound system in the beginning. Now, I'm going to yell. I'll get louder. So I'll let you take care of that, all right? There was a fellow, I grew up in southeast Kentucky in Hazard, and a fellow there said, "Preacher," he said, "I want you to pray for my hearing." And the preacher said he would. And he did. And he asked him the next Sunday, he said, "How's your hearing?" He said, "Well, it's not till next Thursday." He said, "If you'll keep praying for that hearing, I'd appreciate that." Now, that's not the kind of hearing problem I have. But anyway, it is good to be in church. Open your Bibles to Isaiah 43. I appreciate Brother Steve Fisher being with me, and we got to get some work done on the way up here. And I appreciate his work. This is his first year at Commonwealth Baptist College, and we're honored to have him and appreciate the work that he does, and he and his wife, and their great blessing to our ministry there. It is a blessing always to see and to be with the Epleys. It's been a long time that we first worked together and served the Lord together in those tent revivals, and I had a burden to plant churches. I couldn't get my mind around America. I grew up around great preachers with great visions. I knew Dr. Robertson. My first airplane ride was with Lester Olof. It was. First time I was ever in an airplane was with Lester Olof. I got saved when I was 5 years old. I got the assurance of my salvation when I flew with Lester Olof. And that's when I found out for sure, no doubt about it, I'm saved. And but then to know Dr. Robertson, Brother Roloff, Dr. Hiles, they had a burden for America. I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it. Kentucky was big to me. And so I decided I want to do what I can to plant churches in Kentucky. And that's how Commonwealth Baptist College actually got started. And so I got a tent and 100 chairs and a 5-horsepower generator and a PA system. And we just started putting a tent up everywhere, town after town. It wasn't church-sponsored. Our church would do it. We'd just find a place, and we would go soul winning, visiting all day. And there were times that I preached 100 straight nights, started the last week in May, all of June, all of July, all of August, and then the first week of September. And I did that, I believe, 3 straight years, and then I realized maybe we ought to take a break. And so I did several. But what I found was, when you put the gospel and sinners together, people get saved. Not everybody does, but somebody does. And we would leave town after town, and we would have 10 and 12 and 20 converts. And my heart would break, because oftentimes there wouldn't be a soul-winning Bible-preaching church. And so I had a burden to plant churches, and that's how, but I couldn't find preachers. I couldn't find preachers. And so I talked to Russell Anderson, and he and I together started Commonwealth Baptist College. Boy, it's been, that was 1999 that we got started. You know, we have students from Washington State to Miami, Florida, from Maine to San Diego, California. That's all across the country. And now we've seen churches that are starting across the country. And the truth is, I could place right now 100 graduates in churches that need assistant pastors, bus directors, school teachers. Some churches need pastors. But the great burden is there are towns across America that do not have soul-winning churches. And we have young men that are going back to the New England part of America. And it's just exciting. I love church work. Amen. Let me get started preaching. I like to testify. Stand with me, if you will, if you'll open your Bibles to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Now, I've preached on radio and television so long, most of my sermons are either 13 and a half minutes or 29 and a half minutes, most of my sermons. I did look, and this is neither a radio nor television sermon, but I won't be long, I promise you. I won't be. And they tell me at our church, preacher, you preach as long as you want. We dismiss the nursery at 12. And I don't know what time you dismiss the nursery, but I want to be just ahead of that, especially with all them kids I saw going in back there. And all the nursery workers said amen. Isaiah 43, notice, if you will, in verse number 16. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way. Notice that those four words, if you will, which maketh a way. In the sea, and a path in the mighty waters. Now, if you don't think about that, you won't get any value of it. It's one thing to make a path through weeds. It's another thing to make a path through mighty waters. Okay, so let's look at the value of what he said here. Verse 17, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power, they shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as a tow. A tow is the wick of an old a kerosene-type oil lamp, and when that lamp is, or when that wick is squeezed or turned down, it's turned, the light goes out and the fire stops burning. They're quenched as tow. Verse 18, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? Notice this statement, I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Heavenly Father, I appreciate the opportunity to preach the Word of God. What a joy it is to come to a place that has made preparation, not just physically, but spiritually. Lord, they prayed for a meeting, they planned, and they've looked forward to it, and that's a blessing. And now, Lord, I will enjoy the fellowship, but that's not the main reason for coming. Lord, we need you to meet with us and speak to our hearts through your Word. We don't know what we need, but you do. And Holy Spirit of God, may we not wait for the invitation, but may we now yield to the Holy Spirit, and may you have your will and way in the preaching and in the hearing. And may you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. As a pastor, every week there are folks that come to meet with me that have some type of difficulty, carry some type of burden, have some type of problem that they have not found a solution or help for. And they'll oftentimes present a problem that the truth is a very difficult, difficult problem. Two young men sat in my office. One was about 12 years old, and his brother was about 8 years old. And those boys said to the principal of our school, "We need to meet with preacher." And they came to my office, and the boys sat down, and I said, "Boys, what can I do for you?" And the boy that was about 12 years old, he said with quivering lips, "Preacher, we have a decision to make, and we thought maybe you could help us." I had no idea what those boys were going to ask. I didn't know if they needed help to go to camp. I didn't know if they were trying to decide who to marry. I didn't know. The 12-year-old boy said, "Preacher, our mom and dad told us that they were going to get a divorce. And we needed to decide which one we were going to live with." And the little boy's lips began to quiver, and he said, "Preacher, I want to live with both of them. I don't know what to tell the judge." I didn't have an answer. I could only kneel between those boys and put arms around them and cry with them and pray, "God, please, I pray that you'd help us. And help us, Lord, to find an answer, and help their mom and dad, Lord, not to go through with the divorce, but they'll keep the family together." A young lady, a young mother and her husband sat in my office, and they said, "Preacher, you know, we're expecting a baby, and we're about 4 months along, but we found out today that the baby has a deformity. The brain of the baby is forming on the outside of the baby's head." And the doctor said today, "Preacher, the baby can't live, and the doctor recommended that we abort the baby." Now, preacher, I told them immediately there's no way we would do that. And preacher, they got pretty upset with us because they showed us the pictures, and the brain that's supposed to be inside is on the outside in the back of the skull. Preacher, I don't really know what to do. Truth is, I really didn't know what to say. Of course, I agreed with them that they need to let God decide how long the baby in the womb would live, and let God decide when He would bring it to heaven, because God is the giver of life, and we'd let God decide. But I hear this statement often, and this statement is this: "Preacher, I just don't see a way out. I just don't see a way. Preacher, is there something I'm missing? I just don't see a way." In Isaiah chapter 43, the Lord is telling us about the children of Israel, and He's speaking to them and is reminding them of their history. And as you go through the Bible, you'll find this history repeated again and again. You'll find that He reminded them that they were once slaves in the land of Egypt. You'll find that He reminded them that they once faced the Red Sea before them and Pharaoh's army behind them. He often reminded them of their years that they went through the wilderness. You'll find He often reminded them of His desire for them to live in the land of Canaan, the land that flowed with milk and honey. I want you to notice again what the Bible says in verse number 16, and repeats very similar phrase in verse number 19, where the Bible says in verse number 16, "which maketh a way." Now, I want to show you what it doesn't say. The Bible doesn't say "which showeth us the way." You know why? There is no way. So it doesn't say that God showed them a way. It says God made a way. There's a great big difference. Can I tell you tonight, you and I serve a God. He's not a tour guide through life to show us through the difficult paths of life. He is a God that says, when there's a mountain in your way, I can make a way. When there is a Red Sea before you and there is no way, I'm a God that can make a way. When you're in the wilderness and there is no bread and there is no water and there is no place or way to replace your shoes or your clothes, I'm not a God that shows you the way. I'm a God that makes a way. Now, I want to tell you something tonight. You and I serve a God that doesn't just show us a way, because sometimes you're right When you say, preacher, I don't see a way, there's not one. Sometimes we face a problem that there is no answer. Sometimes we carry a burden that we cannot bear. Sometimes we face a difficulty that there is no way through it. I'm glad that I have a God that I don't go to and tell Him, Lord, if there's no way, I guess we'll need to turn back. Lord, there's no way, I guess we'll need to give up. I'm glad that God said, I want to remind you, I'm not a God that shows you the way. I'm a God that made a way. Isn't it interesting as you read the story of how God promised a deliverer that would come to the children of Israel as they were in bondage in the land of Egypt? In fact, it's quite comical to me to read the story when I read of old Pharaoh who said, we're going to kill every male child that's born. And I'll tell you one thing, there may be a deliverer, but he's not going to be born in this land, and God's not going to raise him in this land. I'll make sure every baby boy is killed when he's born. And God in heaven says, I'm a God that makes a way. Not only will I raise a deliverer, I'll raise him on your knee. I'll raise him in your palace. I'll raise him on your food. I'll raise him on your water. And there will be a deliverer, and God made a way. Hey, they were delivered from the land of Egypt, and they came out of there, and they were on their way to the land of Canaan. But before them was the mighty Red Sea. Behind them, Pharaoh's army was approaching because Pharaoh was angry at what had happened. He was angry over the death of the firstborn of many in the land of Egypt. And he pursued them to kill them. And they went to Moses. And you know what they said? Moses, I don't see a way. You know what Moses said? You're right, there's not one. I don't see a bridge. There's a reason you don't see a bridge over the Red Sea. There isn't one. I don't know of a tunnel. There's a reason for that. There's not one. I don't know a way around the Red Sea. There's a reason for that. There's no way around the Red Sea. Aren't you glad that you serve a God that's more than a tour guide, but He's a God that can part the mighty waters and cause you to walk across on dry land, but not just allow you to walk across on dry land, but as the army of Pharaoh came pursuing behind them, God closed the waters and they became extinct as tow. Hey, God just turned their lamp out. He grabbed the wick of the candle and the fire no longer burned. I'm glad tonight I serve a God that makes a way. You may be here tonight and carrying a burden, and you say, I don't know how I'm going to be able to carry it. We serve a God that can give you the strength to carry the burden. We serve a God that doesn't just show us a way. He's a God that makes a way. May I say tonight, in the time of trouble, God makes a way. In the time of trouble, God makes a way. The Bible says in Psalm number 50 and verse number 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I'm glad that I can serve God, and I have a God that can help me in the time of trouble. I have a God who'll do not just when I'm living, but a God who'll do when I'm dying. I have a God that I can go to when the sun's shining, but I have a God that I can go to when the clouds of darkness have come and there's no light of day before me. I'm glad I can go to Him in the time of health, but I've got a God that can help me in the time of sickness. I can go to God when everything is well. I can go to God when everything is wrong, because I serve a God that can make a way. Possibly you've heard the story. I've read this story for many years. I read the story of a only survivor of a shipwreck. He was cast on an island, and he had just a few things that he was able to salvage from the ship. And he was able to build a hut from the trees and the sticks and things that were around him, and he just survived. And if he saw a ship in the distance, he would try to get the attention of the ship to come and to save him and to deliver him from that island. Weeks and months passed. He couldn't get any attention. He thought he would die on the island one day. As he returned from a hunt to find food to survive. As he walked back to that hut that he had made, it was on fire. And everything that he had was burning. He sat down in the sand and he sighed and he said, I've lost now everything that I have. The next morning as the sun rose, there was a ship pulling in to the island. With excitement, he made his way toward the ship. A man came off the ship and he said, hey, we saw your smoke signal yesterday evening and last night and thought we would come and see if you had trouble. Can I tell you tonight, when you think that everything you have is gone up in smoke, I serve a God that can make a way. When Job lost all he had, God gave back what he had plus 10 times more. A God is a God who can make a way. You see, in the time of trouble, he's my God, and that can make a way. Amen. I was reading recently of the preacher John Wesley. John Wesley was a mighty preacher of God. John Wesley faced probably the most difficult burden any preacher would ever face. He had a wife that had spiritual and emotional and mental problems. And she made life very difficult for John Wesley. One part of the book that I read said, and she tormented me weeks on end. But then John Wesley said, most of the success I have seen in life and ministry came from the burden that my wife placed upon me, because she kept me on my knees, and it was on my knees in time of trouble that I found most of the victories I've enjoyed in life. Psalm 138:7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. I remember as a boy, my dad never took me to any sporting events growing up. There's nothing wrong with that, but my dad never took me to any sporting event that I can remember. But he took me all over the country to hear the old men of God preach. I remember going to hear Dr. Rice preach. I remember just amazing thing. I remember hearing B.R. Lakin preach. I remember hearing Lester Olof. I love that sermon that he preached against deodorant. That was a good sermon. He preached against everything. He preached against television. We didn't have one in our home. In fact, I really think Brother Roloff influenced my dad just a little bit too much. I asked him, I said, Dad, I don't get it. You gave up TV, but you still drink coffee. He said, I'm the man of this house. I'll make the decision. I remember hearing them. I remember Dr. Rice preaching on prayers, asking, the reason you don't have anything, you don't ask. The Bible says right here, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find. And I kept waiting for something bombastic to happen. And I just sit there spellbound, listening to that man of God preach on prayer. And I couldn't wait to find a place to see if it really was what he said. And I remember as a 16-year-old boy taking my Schofield Bible and finding a place on the backside of the mountains and saying, oh God, you've done great things for these men. Would you let me serve you in some way? In some way, could I do something that I would know that you've done this in my life and with me? Can I tell you something? There were times I wanted to do what they did. But I learned the Holy Spirit was not given to me to do what they did. The Holy Spirit was given to do His will. And when I said, God, but there's no way to do that, God said, and yes, and you're talking to someone who would agree with you, there's no way, but I can make a way. But Lord, there's a mountain there. Well, we'll just move it. But Lord, there's deep water there. Well, we'll make a path through it. I'm glad tonight that I serve a God who makes a way. And in the time of trouble, He makes a way. In the time of trials, He makes a way. 1 John 3:13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We went through a time last August in Kentucky that was quite a fearful time. I've always been concerned, and especially in my life, about religious liberty. And I watched a dear friend and a sister in Christ go to jail for 5 days in August. Now, what you heard Fox News say is not the truth. They told you three of the county clerks in Kentucky refused to give a marriage license. There were 57 of the 120 clerks. I was with 57 clerks outside Governor Steve Beshear's office, and one spokesman went in and he said to my friend Casey Davis, he said, either do your job or resign. I heard the governor say that again and again and again. Do your job or resign. You see, they didn't refuse to give a marriage license. They refused to solemnize the marriage. For you see, the clerk's signature solemnized the marriage. They didn't have a problem giving the license or filing the license. They did that with property deeds. One clerk said, he said, I had a man that came in and he had sold to another man a piece of property of several million dollars. And when they came in, he said, we want to transfer the property, but we don't want to pay all that property tax. I want a license. I want to marry him, and I want to give my husband this property. What are you going to do about it? The clerk said, I didn't have any choice but to give him a marriage license. And he said, I don't know what the governor's going to do about your marriage. He'll figure out a way to get you taxes, I'll tell you that. And then he said, we want a divorce as soon as the property is transferred. There was all kinds of problems. I watched Kim Davis go to court, 47 years of age, a godly lady. And when they asked her, will you issue a marriage license? And she said, no. They handcuffed her and they shackled her feet and arms, put a chain around her waist. They treat criminals and Guantanamo Bay what they have it turned loose. They treat them better than that. They then brought her back out of the hold and they said, will you give your deputies the right to issue a license? And if you will, we'll let you go. She said, I'm not giving anybody a right to do it. Amen. They put her in jail 5 days. But you know what? In the time of trouble, in the time of trial, we serve a God that can make a way. I wish I could tell you all of the story, but as soon as Governor Bevin was elected, by the way, he was only the third Republican governor in 100 years that was elected, and there's 120 counties, and he won 107 of the 120 counties, and as soon as he was elected, he changed the license, and some folks said, you can't do that! Governor Beshear had changed the license in six places to accommodate same-sex marriage. There's only certain fence posts that the ACLU will crow on. They won't crow on the truth. But I want to tell you something, in the time of trouble and in the time of trial, God is a God that makes a way. In the time of temptation, here's what the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. We don't have to live in sin. We don't have to. Temptation doesn't have to guide us around like a little puppy. We can, in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We can, in God's power, we can resist the wickedness of this old sinful world. Noah did in his day. Noah was a person of righteousness, a parent of righteousness, a preacher of righteousness, and he stood in the most evil of days you and I can stand. I read a story. I thought this was funny. I get tickled every time I think of this story. A little boy was just saving his money to buy a baseball bat. Every time parents would go to town, he didn't have enough money. He's frustrated. He just couldn't get enough money to save to buy that baseball bat. And one day he was praying, and his mama heard him pray. And here's what he said: Lord, please help me to save my money for a baseball bat. And God, don't let that ice cream truck come down my street anymore. So often as Christians, we walk into the face of temptation and say, Lord, deliver us. Little boy was smart enough to know somebody's got to keep that truck from coming down here. Keep me from seeing that truck if I'm going to save my money. Can I tell you something? I have a God. You say, but there's no way. God will make a way. Yes, Thursday evening, I'd finished television broadcast and came outside, and there was a fellow out there, and he said, there's a lady here with a flat tire, and I can't get it changed. He said, I can't get the lug nuts to come off. Well, I know what those appointments are about. Make a long story short, all three of them got saved, and yesterday morning, two of them came to church, and I know what those are about. That's God does that for us. Isn't that good? I like it. But I got a call after that. Brother Davis said, Preacher, I had to call you and tell you this story. A woman just called the church and said, I need to talk to Brother Fugit. And I said, he's not here. She said, you have to get this message to him tonight. She said, I've been hearing him preach. Now, she probably meant radio or television. She said, I am an exotic dancer. I've never had an honest, moral job in my life. And I'm sick of sin. And after hearing him preach, I've given my life to God. She said, I make a lot of money, but it's not worth it. She said, nobody will hire me. She said, would you tell Brother Fugit to pray that God would answer his prayer and give me a job that I can make an honest living? I'm glad I went to God and I didn't say, God, this gal needs a job, but I know there's no way she can get one. I'm talking to the God, doesn't matter if there's a way or not, he can make one. Aren't you glad tonight we have a God that can make one? He can make a way. She called again yesterday. She said, tell him, thank you for that prayer. Ask God to help me to keep doing what's right to do. And said, would it be all right, would I be welcome to come to church on Sunday? Can I tell you something? We serve a God that can make a way. God makes a way for those who trust him. I know many folks tonight, one of the great burdens of many people that I know is a wayward child. There are folks in our church, there are folks who listen to me by way of radio. I hear from them on a regular basis. Would you pray? Please pray for my son or daughter, sometimes in their 20s or 30s. Or a grandchild. Drugs have absolutely destroyed their life, and they often make the statement, I just don't see any way they'll ever make it back. I'm glad when I get on my knees, I don't report to God and tell God there's not a way. If he wasn't intimidated by the Red Sea, he's not going to be intimidated by my problem. Huh? You say, well, there's no water in the wilderness. God said, Moses, take that rod and strike that rock right there, the rock of Horeb. And he smote the rock, and the water gushed forth, and it followed the children of Israel. And when there was no water, God gave them water. There's nothing to eat out here. God gave them manna from heaven. I serve a God that can make a way. I've been the pastor at Clay's Mill Road now almost 25 years. God's done some mighty wonderful things, but you know where we are tonight? We're in a rented building. We're in a rented building. We've outgrown our church. And I've said many times to God, I wish I had the leadership ability to have found property and built a building. And I sometimes feel like a failure. The only thing I know to do is keep winning people to Christ. 42 people walked an aisle yesterday and trusted Christ as Savior. 17 people followed the Lord in believer's baptism yesterday morning. Or throughout the day, I should say. Not in the morning, but throughout the day. All I know to do is, and you know what I tell God? God, I don't know what we're going to do. But I'm glad I serve a God that can make a way. You're going to hear about it. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't have any. I'm out of suggestions. I've suggested everything to him. Sometimes we replace our prayer time with suggestion time, don't we? A fellow told me the other day, preacher, this political thing, it's a mess. What are we going to do? I said, I'll tell you what, it's going to get so bad, we're not going to have a choice but trusting God. I mean, it's getting awful. And folks, let me tell you something. It's not falling apart, it's falling in place. God's in control. And when you say there is no way, I want you to be reminded of Isaiah 43:16, Isaiah 43:19. I'm a God that maketh a way. When I was a boy, I watched God provide. I remember watching my dad and a couple of teenage boys count the money after church on Sunday night and hear my dad say again to my mom, I'm sorry, there's not enough money for us to have any. And see my mama walk away and my dad get on his knees and cry and pray and ask God to provide for us. I watched him come in on a Monday morning. He had gone to the post office. We didn't have mailboxes. Everybody's address was the same. General Delivery, Chavez, Kentucky, 41727. Everybody's address was the same. Went to the post office and postmaster gave you your mail. My dad came running in one Monday morning holding an envelope over his head. He said, I want you to look. And him and my mom, they had two $100 bills. They danced all over the living room floor. I didn't have anybody to dance with. I just stood there and watched them. He said, you know what's wonderful? He said, we prayed for this last night. God mailed it Friday. I grew up in church that didn't have a thermostat on the wall. We didn't need one. We didn't have a furnace. We had a coal stove. Our air conditioner was on a stick and had the Good Shepherd on one side and the Engle Funeral Home on the other side. That's the way it was. And I remember at the altar saying, God, we don't have enough coal for this winter. And I watched God provide. But you know what he said in this verse, and I'll finish with this. He said, I'll do a new thing. Have you ever noticed that God never won two battles alike? You know why? We would write the pattern down, patent it, and sell it. We wouldn't need God anymore. One time God took the wheels off the chariots. I love how God thinks. I loved as a teenage boy reading those stories. One time he sent bumblebees. I mean, can you imagine? That's got to be funny. It has to be. Pharaoh telling all of his soldiers, don't you let a baby boy be born. And he's bouncing the deliverer on his knee. And God never won two battles alike. You know why? He doesn't want me to trust in a battle plan. He wants me to trust in Him. Amen. God, would you do for me what you did for John Rice? No, I'll do a new thing. Would you do for me what you did for Lester Olof? No, I'm going to do a new thing for you. I serve a God who makes a way. Stand with me if you will. Every head bowed and eye closed. I don't know what your burden is tonight. I don't know what you face tonight. I don't know. You may face a mountain that you say this will be it. The next time you get on your knees and you tell God there's no way, I want you to be reminded you serve a God who can make one. You're probably right when you say there's no way. You're probably right. It's then that we can trust in Him. Heavenly Father, I don't know what the burdens are, but I imagine if I took prayer requests here tonight, the categories would be the same as the categories of the 300-plus prayer requests that I get from my people this week. Some have cancer. Some have incurable disease. Some have wayward children. Some have family members serving in the military in a foreign field, foreign country tonight. Some face financial burdens not of their own making. Some face marital difficulties. Some face difficulties no one knows about. They look at their problem tonight and they say, Lord, I just don't see a way. Dear God, I pray that we would not run because there's no way. I pray that we'd trust in a God. who can make a way. I pray that we do business with you tonight as you've spoken to our hearts. In Jesus' name.